Thank you for listening to this sermon recorded at the Lost River Church of Christ. For more information, check out our website at lostriverchurch.org or call us at 270-843-3163. We consider it an honor to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you completely free of charge. Have a great day and enjoy the sermon.
Uplift the holy name of God, but also to encourage one another. I'm so thankful to be here with you this weekend. I appreciate the invitation from the elders to be here with you. Had a wonderful night last night. I was very encouraged when I left the Marshall's house with the group and the number of young people that came and that were interested in spiritual things. And we talked about some things applicable for them and the importance of choosing the right kinds of friends to surround themselves with. And I think it was well received, and I just appreciate them so much. And it's wonderful, again, to see such a large number of young people here tonight. I want to begin by telling you a story, because there are some things that we're told that just aren't really listening to. I like the story about a guy who was pulled over for driving too fast. And the cop asked him for his license and his registration. And the guy says, "Well, I don't have a license. It was revoked. I don't have a registration because I stole the car." And the cop said, "Well, what do you mean you don't have a license? What do you mean you don't have a registration?" And he said, "Well, hold on just a moment. Let me look in the glove box. I think I saw a registration in there when I put my gun in there." He said, "Well, wait a minute. You have a gun in the glove box?" He said, "Well, yeah. How else do you think I'm going to be able to rob a bank?" He said, "What do you mean you robbed a bank?" He said, "Well, yeah, that's how I got that pile of money in the back trunk." Well, by this time, the cop had called in reinforcements, and the captain showed up, and they got him out of the car, and the captain began frisking this man who was driving the car. And as he was frisking him, he reached in his back pocket. There was his wallet. He had a license. It was valid. It wasn't revoked. It wasn't expired. Looked in the glove box. There was no gun. There was a registration there. It matched his driver's license. They opened up the trunk. There was no pile of money in the trunk. There was just an old set of golf clubs. And the captain said to the man who was driving the car, he said, "Well, I thought my man told me that your license was expired, your registration was non-existent because you stole the car, that you had a gun, and you robbed a bank." And the man said, "Yeah, I bet you he told you I was speeding too." The moral of that story is you can get in trouble by just believing something is true without ever examining the facts. I'm sure that everybody here tonight has had a situation where you've made a choice or you've took a path based upon some information that you later on figured out was not true. Maybe it's as simple as someone giving you directions and you write the directions down and you start your journey to that destination only to find out that the directions are wrong and you were given false information. Well, that's a trivial matter. There perhaps are some more serious things in life that you receive some misinformation about. Maybe college students, it's a professor that tells you the test is going to be on chapters 2 and 3. And when you get the test, it's on chapters 3 and or chapters 4 and 5. And you've received some misinformation. Or maybe you've been misdiagnosed by a doctor. You follow directions, you take the meds, you go to therapy, but the problem is what you're doing, what you think is right, but you've been given some misinformation on what is wrong. See, we all have a story where we've acted on a piece of information that is not exactly true or right, and because of that, we ended up even in more of a mess, and we've made the statement, "Well, if I would have known better, I wouldn't have done that." Or, "If I would have known this piece of information, I wouldn't have done that at all." So in order to change our ways, we need to bust the myths that we believe. The information that we acted upon ended up being wrong rather than right, false rather than true. And there are consequences to face. And so what I want to do tonight is kind of set the stage for really what we're going to be doing tomorrow. But I want us this weekend to think about the idea of Mythbusters. I'm convinced that there are some things that we've come to believe as true. There are some things that society is telling us are true when in fact they're nothing more than myths. And what we're going to do is we're going to take each myth and then we're going to hold that myth up to the scrutiny of God's Word, where God's Word will show that they are in fact not true, but they are lies. I want to examine some of the most common and popular beliefs, but the most untrue beliefs in our culture. You know, a myth is just simply a concept that's been invented that has no basis of fact, but it's believed to be true. And I want you to understand that you can't believe everything that you hear. And I want to begin with this principle tonight. We are surrounded by myths that make us miserable. Some of the myths in our life that we believe as true, in the end up making us miserable. Whether it be emotional pain, whether it be relational pain, or maybe it might be spiritual pain that we face in our lives, is caused by the myths or caused by the lies that we tell ourselves. And some of these lies have been a part of our mental makeup for a long time. Some of the lies that we're going to talk about this weekend, you may not say, oh, I don't agree with that. You may say, I know that's a myth. I know that's not true. But when life comes and circumstances come up, we find out that within our minds, within our hearts, perhaps we do believe these popular myths, because things start coming into our minds and the play button hits in our minds and we find out that we're dominated by a bunch of lies that society has told us. Well, Philippians chapter 4 at verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, think about these things. That's a great thought. This is one of those verses that I call the coffee mug verse. You put it on your coffee mug or you put it on your fridge, and it's a great verse to memorize. It's a great verse to tell us what we need to fill our minds with. But at times, it's not easy to think truthfully, especially in a culture that is dominated by myths. And here's something else I want to point to your attention tonight. Understand that all of these myths, all of these lies that we're going to discuss, and all the other lies and myths in our society, Satan is the source of all the lies that dominate our culture. Jesus said this one time in John chapter 8 at verse 44. He said, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, all of these myths that we're going to discuss this weekend were originated from Satan himself. And he doesn't want us to know that these statements are false and that they're myths. And so he has a wonderful way of packaging them up and dressing them up to where they sound really good. They sound full of integrity, and we end up buying it hook, line, and sinker. If you don't believe me, look at the culture. Look at the society that we live in today. It is exhibit A that Satan has been successful in circulating beliefs in our country that are commonly held but are nothing more than lies. In the myths that we'll look at, I want you to understand that if you don't buy into these myths that Satan is propagating throughout our society, you will be looked at as crazy if you don't buy them. So I want all of us, young and old people alike, not to cave into the pressure to buy into the myths of society. They are all lies. Now, someone may be thinking, well, look, what does it really matter what you believe? What does it really matter if you believe in something that is true or something that is false? That leads me to the first myth that I want to consider and set the stage for the rest of our time in our study this weekend. And it is the myth that says it doesn't matter what you believe. That is so popular in our society today. In fact, one of our presidents, Dwight D. Eisenhower, said, it doesn't matter what you believe, but that you believe. And so it says, well, it doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you are sincere about it. It doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as it makes you feel good. Or it doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you believe it with all of your heart. And perhaps this idea of it doesn't matter what you believe comes from this effort, this noble effort, I might say, of trying to unite people. But look, that's not going to happen, because truth always trumps lies. Always trumps the lies. And sincerity does not trump reality. You see, we can be absolutely sincere about something, but we can be absolutely wrong. Think about it. About 12 years ago, planes on September 11th here in just a few weeks were flying into buildings. September 11th, 2001, is a glaring reminder, is a glaring fact that it does matter what you believe. Those men flew those planes into that building because of what they believed. They believed that flying those planes into buildings would send them into eternal paradise. So don't tell me that it doesn't matter what you believe. See, I also want you to think about this. Your beliefs are your choice. What you believe, what you decide to believe, is your choice. Look, we all have a belief system on which we operate our lives. We all have a belief system on which is the foundation of every decision that we make. And really, in that sense, there's no such thing as a non-believer. Because everyone believes something. Everyone has that foundational belief system. But everyone makes a choice about what they believe. Think about it. You can choose to believe that there's life on other planets. You can even choose to believe that Elvis is alive. You can choose to believe that there is no God, that there is no such thing as eternity. You have that choice to make. But the bottom line is, it's your choice. We have to assume responsibility for our beliefs. We can't say, well, that's what my parents taught me. Or we can't say, well, look, that's what my friends in class were telling me, and so I came to believe it. No, you choose what you believe, and you have to assume responsibility for it. Here's why I say that. Let me give you three things. Why I think it's critical to consider what we believe. Number one, we should consider what we believe because what you believe is who you become. What you believe is who you become. The person that we become, the course of actions that we choose to take, are always rooted in what we believe to be true. It's that foundational belief system that I was just talking about. Let me tell you a story. Back in 1999, there was a massive earthquake in the country of Turkey. And one of the villages in that country was completely destroyed. And one of the stories that came out after that earthquake and the aftermath of all of that earthquake was that 30 years before the quake, government officials of Turkey came into that village and they met with the village leaders and they told them that their village was sitting right on top of a fault line. Well, the government officials left and the leaders decided they would not heed the advice of the government officials to pick up and relocate their village. But instead of relocating, they had a solemn official assembly where the leaders got together and they chose to redraw the geological map. And they just simply took it upon themselves to remove the fault lines so that it no longer showed to be resting on their village. It no longer showed for them to be in any danger. And so because of that, for the next 30 years, life went on as normal. Businesses were built. Families were built. It spared everyone. It brought peace and comfort, the hassle of having to pick up and move. Most of the village had no idea that the lines had been drawn on the map. They went with their lives right on a fault line without ever realizing it. You see, they were just working with the map that had been given to them. Most of them didn't know that the map had been redrawn. But when the earthquake hit, their lives were hit with the reality that what they had believed, what they had built their life on, was in fact a myth. And I tell you that story tonight because that could be said for a lot of us today on how we choose to live our lives. Because here's what the world does. Here's what society does. Society gives us a map that most oftentimes has the lines redrawn, has the danger removed. And they say, here, take this map, build your life on this. And oftentimes, these maps are nothing more than myths that make us miserable. And understand that what we build our lives on is who we become. You see, people operate their lives on myths all of the time. They say, God just wants me to be happy. Or they'll say, you only live once, so why not live it up? Why not make any choice? Forget the consequences about the choices that you're making. You only live once. There's so many more that we could talk about, like, well, revenge is sweet. Or you can never have enough. Or there's always tomorrow. Or life is supposed to be fair. Or life has no meaning. You see, oftentimes we choose our roads in life based upon these false maps that we've been given. But it matters whether or not we believe them, because you become what you believe. If you believe that God wants nothing more for you than to be happy, you will become a person who pursues happiness at whatever the cost. You will hurt, you will trample, you will run over anyone that you have to run over to seek your personal happiness if you believe the myth that God just simply wants you to be happy. Or if you believe the lie in society that says revenge is sweet, you'll become a person who is ate up with bitterness. If you believe that you can never have enough, well, you will become a person who seeks material possessions no matter how bad your family suffers because of it. If you believe there's always a tomorrow, you will become a person who puts off doing good without ever considering the fact that you're not promised a tomorrow. See, we are building our lives right on top of these fault lines. And the closer we build to these fault lines, the more damage that's going to come when the circumstances in our life reveal that the choices that we've made based upon what we believe are nothing more than myths. Think about what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. It's interesting here to me that Paul is writing to a group of believers who are walking with Jesus, and he says, do not fall into the trap of believing a bunch of lies and myths. And it's also interesting to me that he says, see to it that no one takes you captive. Or your version may say, see to it that no one takes you prisoner. There's a lot of irony, I think, to that. Because oftentimes, we believe what we believe, and we make the choices in our lives because we are convinced that what we believe will in fact lead us to freedom. But in the end, we actually wind up more in prison than ever before. You see, Paul says the truth is in Christ Jesus. The truth is in the teachings of Jesus. It's in His life. It's in His death. It's ultimately in His resurrection. And it's in Him that you find the real map that tells you where the lies are, where the myths are, where the fault lines are, and how you can build your life not on the myths of society, but on the sure foundation of Jesus the Christ. See, Jesus reveals to us that the truth is, the truth matters. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. It says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. And it says, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. All the Bereans remind us of a couple of things that I want to point out in this passage. First of all, this shows us that we do not have to believe the myths that culture throws at us. We have an example here that we have a responsibility to compare with what we are told is true up to the light of God's Word. By their example, you don't have to have an earthquake to see where the fault lines are. We see from the Bereans is that we have a map that we can count on. We can always go to this map and we don't have to worry about it being changed. We don't have to worry about 20 years down the line coming along and saying, no, this isn't true. I read just this week that drinking coffee was good for you. I took a lot of comfort in that, Lawrence, because I drink a lot of coffee. but I'd read about 6 months ago that drinking coffee was bad for you, and I was upset that day. Didn't drink near as much. You see, truth is always changing in society, but we have a map that the lines are never going to be redrawn. And young people, understand this. You do not have to become who the world wants you to become. You do not have to give in to the pressures of conforming yourself to society. Always remember that what you believe is who you become. Number two, we should consider what we believe, because when our beliefs are not validated, it leads to discouragement and disappointment. Here's what I mean by that. How many times have you or someone that you're close to experienced some type of pain, some type of heartache, some type of disappointment, and desire to search for what is real? In our disappointment and in our pain, we have a desire to search for what is true. Think about it. As long as life is going good, as long as you're getting A's, or as long as you got a job, as long as you're making the bills, as long as you're able to do this or you're able to do that, things are great, and we don't really want to expend the mental energy to think about what we believe. But sometimes things will happen that rock our world and causes us to stop and to think, what has God really said? I want to call your attention to a passage in the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you would turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I want to show you some words written by the wisest man to ever live. It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I want you to begin reading with me at about verse 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 at verse 2. Solomon writes, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure." Look, Solomon isn't saying your life shouldn't be going smooth. Or Solomon isn't saying that you can't have a good time. What Solomon knew is that when it came time to think about the things that are real, when it comes time to think about what is true, it's going to have to come from the house of mourning rather than a Super Bowl party. And he's right. Think about it. He's saying when things are going good, we don't think about the things that matter. But if you've been through some disappointment and you've been through some heartache in your life, you'll agree with me that you did some self-examination. You looked within your heart and you came to realize what really matters. In some type of crisis, whether it be a marriage crisis, a family crisis, a financial crisis, or a health crisis, you may say, "I'm sorry I went through that, but I'm better for it. I'm more wise because of it, because I thought about what really mattered." Think about it. Our country does it all the time. I mentioned September 11th. Or a few years ago with the massacre in the school in Newtown, Connecticut. Think about what happens when those things take place. The popular beliefs of our society during those times of tragedy are revealed to be nothing more than myths. During times of tragedy, people realize that relationships are more important than possessions. Think about it. On September 11th, nobody was calling the office, were they? Everybody was calling home. During times of tragedy, people realize that they need to mend broken relationships. There's more hugs. There's more "I love yous." There's more "I'm sorry's." There's more "will you forgive me" when there's trouble in our lives. In times of difficulty and tragedy, we realize that we are not in control. In times of tragedy, we realize that our plans for tomorrow or our plans for next week, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And we're reminded that we must do the important things today. And in the end, people realize their need for God. Think about it. How oftentimes in the midst of tragedy do we hear people saying, God bless America. God comes to the forefront of people's minds in the midst of tragedy because people realize what is really important. It seems like people tend to go through some sort of spiritual awakening. People start living wiser than before because in the midst of tragedy, we are reminded of what is really true. We are reminded of what is really important. And hear me on this. Anytime we go through a period of disappointment and discouragement, it is a wonderful opportunity to not go to the midst of society, but it's a wonderful opportunity to open up the Word of God, the real and true living map. That's the time to go to it. Anytime our discouragement or disappointment, perhaps you're going through some of that right now, and your experiences have not validated what you believe to be true in your belief system, I want to encourage you not to blame God, not to curse God, not to leave God. I want to encourage you to get out His map. Press through to God. Go to Scripture. Because it's not God who's done us wrong. It's not God who has failed us. It's the lies that Satan is spreading throughout His Word. And sometimes he does that through people. Sometimes he does that through well-meaning people who pass on these myths of society to live by. That leads me to my final point tonight. We should consider what we believe to be true because we do not want to misrepresent God. As I said at the beginning of the lesson, you're a soldier in the Lord's army. You're following Jesus. You're on the Lord's team. You're representing Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And the last thing that we want to do as His followers is to misrepresent Him. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 15. He says, "We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised." That was the myth that was going around. It's that there's no such thing as a resurrection. Paul says, if there's no such thing as a resurrection, well then we are misrepresenting God. I don't think there's anyone, who has been more misrepresented than the Creator of the universe. I don't know who to attribute this quote to, but it says, "There is perhaps no better proof for the existence of God than the way year after year He survives, the way His professional friends promote Him." Malachi chapter 2 verse 7 says, "For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from His mouth, for He's the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts." And you may be saying, "Well, what does that Old Testament passage have to do with me? I'm not a priest." Are you sure about that? Think again. Because if you're a New Testament Christian here tonight, the New Covenant says that you are a priest. Peter says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Look, as Christians, as priests, we are called to proclaim to others who God is. We're called to proclaim to others the character of God. We're called to proclaim to others what God says in His Word. And the last thing that we want to do is misrepresent God. And so another thing that I hope that this series will do is give us all an opportunity as priests to consider the validity of what we teach our friends in class, our spouses, our children, those at the factory, those at the office, those on the baseball team, those on the football team, whoever it is that you have any influence over. I hope what this series will do will give you an opportunity to consider whether or not you're misrepresenting God. Whether or not you're telling people things that later on down the road will cause them to stumble and to blame God. The last thing that any of us want to do as children of God is to be found misrepresenting the truth and in the end telling people a myth that makes them miserable. So as we close, I'm going to tell you a story about an old carpenter who was ready to retire. And he told his employer, who was a contractor, of his plans that he was going to leave the housing business. And he's just going to spend some more time with his kids and with his family. And he'd missed the paycheck. He'd missed the job. But he was just tired. He was ready to retire. And his boss said, well, do me one more favor. Build one more house. Just build one more house. And then you can retire. Well, the man agreed. And he decided. And he got to work on that house. But His heart was just not in his work. He used shoddy materials. He cut corners. There was poor craftsmanship. It was really just an unfortunate way to end his career. Well, when he finished the house, he called his contractor, his boss, in, and they took a walk through the house. And after they walked through the house, his boss threw him the keys and said, here you go. You built this house for yourself. Enjoy. And then he realized, if I knew I was building this house for myself, I would have done things so differently. But now he had a house that was not built too well. I tell you that story because the truth is, we all have to live in the life that we build. Every day of our lives, we make choices and we pursue courses of action that construct our life. But in the end, you and I are going to have to live in the house that we're building. So we need to make sure that the materials that we are using, the measurements that we are measuring, are accurate. I can't use a tool one. I'm not good with my hands, but I have heard this before. Measure twice, cut once. And I do know that once you cut it too short, you can't change it. And when it comes to the beliefs that we are to live by, measure twice, because we're going to have to live in the house that we build. Look, we've all been called to build our lives on the sure, solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Because when you think about Jesus Christ, what we learn is that the real truth is not just simply a principle, but truth is found in a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. John 1 and verse 14 says, and the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And it says that He was full of grace and truth. Do you know when you read through the Gospels, dozens and dozens of times you see Jesus saying, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you. Do you know what He's saying when He says that? He says, look, I know what you've heard. I know what society in the world is telling you, but I'm about to give you some heaven-sent truth, and you better listen. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you some truth that goes counter to what everyone else says is the truth. He says, I'm going to give you another way to look at the world. And that's why Jesus says in John chapter 8, at verse 31, if you are my disciples, you will abide in my word. He says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't end this lesson by encouraging everyone here tonight, and especially if you're outside the body of Christ, to build your life on the sure, solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Because the fact is, we're all sinners. And the reality of that is that we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is our Savior. He came to die for every one of us. And if you want to give your life over to the Lordship of Jesus and build your life on something that is ever-changing, something that is eternal, something that is sure, we want to help you do that tonight. If you need to respond to the gospel, come up right now while we stand and while we sing.